So one time I found a wallet in the Walmart parking lot, and I open it up and it's got no ID, no credit cards, no nothing. There's like $200 cash in it.
Yeah, did you say praise the Lord?
I did, but it had a few, like, I forget what kind of cards, but it had more than just cash. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, if this was just an empty wallet with cash, maybe. But then I'm like, but if I dropped just a wallet with that much cash,
yeah,
boy, would I hope that somebody turned it in.
Yeah.
And so I actually took it to the local police station. I said, hey, I found this. And they're looking at me as they're going through the wallet like,
what are you doing?
Why did you turn this in? But I forget what the time period was. We're like, yeah, if no one claims it in a month, it's yours. And sure enough, they called me up in a month. And I got a free wallet and $200.
Nice.
Like,
but and it was, a clean conscience.
And a clean conscience. Yeah, because I just, it was funny. It was like the Lord nudged me. He was like, if you dropped your wallet with $200 in it, wouldn't you
Dude, one time I set my wallet somehow like on the back of my truck. My truck has a tonneau cover I put on the back of my truck and pull out of the driveway and it fell off. The garbage man picked it up. Somehow figured out it was probably my house, called the office, got my cell phone number, and he's like, hey, is this Jeff? I'm like, yeah. He goes, hey, I'm your garbage man. I found your wallet. So I swing around. He found it in the road. Swing around, get it. I was like, dude, that's the kindest thing I've ever. I said, thank you so much. He goes, yeah, no problem. And I tried to give you money. He's like, no. And I finally had a $20 bill. I was like, at least let me buy you lunch today. He's like, okay. You know, but it is how you want people to interact with you, you know? So it's funny.
I got my identity stolen once when I lost my wallet. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man, because losing your wallet is – I have lost it, not to the point of losing identity, but it is
nowadays, I think it's your phone more, right?
Like, yeah, for sure.
You panic even – but both of them count.
Yep. Well, welcome to Mixed Messages, where we teach you to turn in your wallets when you lost them.
That's right. Just put them in the offering plate at church.
That reminds me of a video we did a long time ago, but that's a whole different rabbit trail. But this is Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue.
I'm Joe Caruso.
He is Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso. And at least one of us are really glad you're here. There are a lot of noises out there, and we are not always clear as a culture, as a people, what to believe, how to live, or how to make decisions. We want to try to help you sort through all those mixed messages around us and follow the way of Jesus. So let's go ahead and dive in. Jeff, we have a submitted question today. This one actually came through an actual conversation. So this is the question that they asked, but they were like, hey, I need your advice on this. And I said, well, just wait a couple of weeks. We'll do it on Mixed Messages.
I'm sure they're just sitting by their phone waiting for the episode.
We had a great conversation about it, but I thought, my goodness, wouldn't this be helpful for other people? So their question was this. When is it appropriate to take responsibility for your actions? What they mean by that is this. When do we ask forgiveness from those we've wronged versus when do we just have to go to God and ask forgiveness? And I thought it was a fantastic question. In their context, it was an old parental thing. They're a young adult now. I think they're around 30-ish. And they were like, you know, when I was a teenager, I really took my parents through the ringer. Now, they're like, I have a great relationship with my parents. Do I reverse 15 years of life and go apologize for what I did 15 years ago when we already have a restored and reconciled relationship with things that they might not even realize were going on or this, that, and the other? Or is this a moment where I just interact with God on that because I need forgiveness from my Lord and Savior? Like, that's kind of a little bit more of the context of how they're asking. But Jeff, how do we kind of navigate that?
First of all, I think any parent would be thrilled if you came and said, I'm sorry about like my childhood. Yes, go do that. Here's the way that I would maybe try to help people think this through. So the more people are involved, the more apologies need to be made. The less people that are involved, the inverse is true. You could also probably say that the more people, the more public the sin, the more public the apology, et cetera. So there are things that there are sins that we commit in secret and in private. Pornography comes to my mind.
Sure.
Is a big one. Greed, pride, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And those are... I'm kind of making these labels up right now for the conversation, but those are like sins of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I'm greedy and I'm materialistic, there's times I battle that or want that or I'm ungrateful, but it doesn't affect anyone,
mm-hmm.
right?
Besides
yourself, so to say.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm wrestling with that and I feel convicted by that, I am interacting with God. I did this yesterday. I had a little pity party for myself yesterday evening with, I invited Heidi to it. but I was, and I'm like, and I, at the end of like venting, I was like, I'm just being a baby. I'm like being selfish. I'm being ungrateful. I needed to interact with God about that. There was nobody involved, sure. right? When that sin is directed toward a person, or the sin of the heart affects a human being. So I'm greedy, so I took something from Heidi, or I, you know, I didn't turn the wallet in, kind of thing. Like the now I need to involve that person in the apology because they were affected by that. The more people that are affected by that, like I need to talk to my family, or I need to like I think if I did something. I might have to talk to the church about it. You know, if I made a mistake or sinned against the church in some way, I need to apologize to the church. So the more people involved, the more that you need to go to them, the more public it is, the more public the apology. So to me, that's a rule of thumb, you know? And so what I would encourage people not to do is this. I would encourage you never to say, I'm good with God, so I'm good with everybody else. Because what happens is you're not good with everybody else. You've broken trust. They've been wounded by your sin. And you've missed the opportunity to bring healing and to bring restoration to that relationship. So I just use like his conversation about his mom and dad. Like going to your mom and dad and saying, hey, I love where God has us. I was a booger. And they'll probably laugh about it now. Like, you know, they'll probably, depending on what it was, but I was a booger. And I just been realizing, maybe he's a parent now, like I've been realizing I put you guys through some pain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really sorry I put you through that pain. I really love you guys. I'm grateful you were. That would thrill their heart.
Mm-hmm.
So by not going to them, you're missing an opportunity, right? I've had people that will go back into high school and they'll be like, hey, 30 years ago, man, and they've interacted with other people who are like 45 now, and that 45-year-old person is like, they're like, I've been bitter. Like, you actually freed me of something because I've been bitter at you. Because I remember when I got bullied in high school. And if that bully came to me, I'd be like, man, God's worked in your life. That probably meant more to me than I thought about. Like, it wasn't governing my life, but it's in my heart.
Yep.
So you miss out on a lot of opportunities for healing and all those kind of things. I think you just have to have discernment. I was talking recently to a friend about a sexual sin. And he's like, I sinned with this girl, and I did this, like, blah, blah, number of years ago. I think I need to go apologize to her. I'm like, hang on. Like, is she married? Does she want to know? Is she trying to forget it? What do you mean? And he's a wise, godly guy. And so we kind of talked it through and sorted it through a little bit. And I'm like, that apology has ramifications to it. But he would feel very... led by the Lord to do that. So I'm like, you know, probably God wants to do something healing. And so it was just like, how do you do that? Those kind of things, if they're open to it. So I think you have to be guided by God.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should be sensitive. Here's what I would say. If you think you, if it crosses your mind that you should have talked to someone, you should. So normally what God wants us to do is the first thing that comes to mind, not what we negotiated him down to. And so I'm like, if, like, with our friend here as an example, like, if God is prompting you to talk to your parents, go talk to him. There's probably something he wants to do in your heart and their heart that apology, like, connects to.
Sure.
But when people are like, I'm good with God, I'm like, no, you're not, because like, I've seen pastors actually are the worst at it, I think, but they'll say, I sinned against God and I confess it to him and now I'm forgiven. I'm like, all that's true, but it's incomplete. You apologize, you did not repent, and you did not go through a process of restoration. And so you're saying, God forgave me as an excuse for you to move on with your life instead of go through and work on the shrapnel that was caused by your decisions.
What I feel like you're saying is forgiveness is meant to be the beginning of healing, not the end of it. Like, it's supposed to spark, forgiveness should spark a different direction, not just say, I'm forgiven, cool, I'm done.
Yeah, I think you're saying apology.
Mm-hmm.
The apology is the beginning of things, not the end. And so I can apologize. People have to accept it. I have to mean it. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there about a broken and contrite heart, about repentance, about restoration. There's a bunch of stuff in there about timing. There's some wisdom. Like, I think our friend was wise to talk to you about it. Like, all that plays in. So I can apologize and apologize quickly. But the old idea of, like, forgive and forget, that can't happen. Doesn't happen. We don't forget. So I like to say forgiveness is not a moment. It's a habit. And so when I've sinned against somebody and I ask for their forgiveness, if they grant me forgiveness, they're going to have to forgive me for the rest of their life. Because, like, if this is where sexual sin, the Bible says when we sin sexually, we sin against another person, we sin against ourselves. So that is in me now. Pornography is in me. That sexual sin is in me, right? And so I have to forgive again and again that betrayal. I got to forgive my ex-wife, if you have one, a million times, not once. Your husband or boyfriend that cheated on you, you're forgiving them a million. Your dad who abused you. So those are habitual things. They're not just moments. So the apology can, like, kick that in, but the journey has yet to be taken with it. And I would say the same thing with God. Like, God is not forgiving us habitually. But when we ask God's forgiveness, he forgives us. But then the restoration and the work of the relationship is there. He's not holding it over our head.
Yeah.
But he's redeeming it. But there's a process. It's not like, sorry, God. There's a process that God takes us down. It's an important process.
I had read something not that long ago. And it kind of touches on the fact, like you mentioned earlier, like, do I need to go to that? You were using the example of, like, do I go confess or ask for an apology? Like, now that person's married and has a family and this, that, the other, am I stirring something up? The thing I had read was you probably shouldn't use an apology if it's just relieving your guilt rather than serve them. Like, speak into that a little bit. Like, I might be blowing someone else's life up by maybe telling them something they didn't know, but I need to apologize for. Like, how do we know, I don't know, just maybe help us walk through that scenario a little bit of, like, I hurt my girlfriend years ago. I cheated on my boyfriend years ago. Maybe they don't even know it. Am I supposed to go to them and say, like, hey, I hurt you, I wronged you, this is actually why this didn't work out and you didn't know and blah, 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 and therefore almost ironically hurt them for the first time in the process? Like,
yeah,
because I think a lot of those scenarios exist too.
That's a very big question that I think takes a ton of discernment. This is what I would say first blush with it, is I would say it depends on the relationship. So, you know, did I cheat on my girlfriend in high school? She doesn't know about it. I'm like, well, how long ago was high school? It's 45 years ago. I'm like, yeah, I think I would drop it. Like, she's moved on. she hasn't thought about you, she has a family, etc. I had an affair the second year of my marriage, and that was 25 years ago. I'm like, well, now that's your wife.
Right. Right.
That's a completely different conversation. And I don't want to hurt her can become an excuse. And I'm not telling you what to do right now, but I'm saying that that is a very, very delicate thing to go through. I sinned against someone 25 years ago, and it actually was a crime. Is a different conversation than I cheated on my math test. You know, so I think what happens is this. I think there's the bigger the real conversation is not around whether I should or shouldn't. The real conversation is around whether my heart is tender or not. And so what happens, the Bible says that when we have sin and we hide sin and we harbor sin, that our hearts harden, and eventually God will even sear our conscience. So if I ignore something long enough, I will quit feeling bad about it. So when that is resurfaced from my past, and suddenly I have a sensitivity to it, or I have a conviction about it, or that person is on my mind, that is God speaking to you. Right? Now, what do you do with that? I'm like, that's a very interesting question. And I would, number one, seek wise counsel. And then number two, that wise counsel should be leading you toward a godly resolution and restoration. What does that mean? Right? So it's a very individualized thing. What I worry about is people either ignoring the sin or ignoring God's conviction of the sin. What to do with it, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know either. We have to work it through. But when you feel convicted and you're like, I'm just going to push that back to the back of my mind again and forget about it, I'm like, careful, because you're ignoring what God wants to do, and you're hardening your heart towards something. I also think who you're confessing to makes a big difference. So this is a little bit controversial. I don't think wives should be a husband's accountability for his struggle with pornography. I think that needs to be another godly man or two, his life. That does not mean that he would never confess that struggle to his wife.
Right.
So, because half the guys are like, wait, I don't have to tell her. I'm like, that's not what I said. I said how we're handling it is different. I don't think a husband, I'm not sure if a wife is attracted to another man, she should just go tell her husband. I think she should receive godly counsel from godly women. Now, I did not say that she should never tell her husband.
Right.
But I really think that principle is true. Pastor Bob, my mentor, always said, this is what happens when we confess sin. You feel sick about sin, and it torments you, and it puts a knot in your stomach. And he said, confession is kind of like throwing up. Like when you have food poisoning, you feel better when you throw up. He says the problem is you just threw up on everybody around you. So the answer is not to not throw up, and the answer is not to not have anybody around you. There's a different answer, because I remember being a kid being sick, and my mother was with me, and I didn't throw up on her. So it's you have to do both and, but I've seen confession happen in really harmful ways, and then I've seen it happen in really healthy ways. My concern is not the way, it's that confession happens. And by the way, it's not always the speed. So if you've done something dumb, you don't have to necessarily call your wife or husband tonight. You may want to call Pastor Joe first, right, and get some processing with it to help with that, so where that confession is an important thing. But I'll say I've had people do that many times over the years. I remember several instances, but one I'm thinking about right now was an affair. He had one. He came to me first, and he was like, I don't think I want to tell her because I don't want to hurt her. And I was like, wrong. That's not where we want to be. But we could talk about how to tell her and when to tell her and what to tell her. And then we could ready the resources they want to get. So we talked to, and I remember he went and told her. My phone rang. She was in my office, you know, an hour later. And she's like, and she's hurt and scared and devastated and angry. And I'm like, okay. He threw up on her. He felt much better. I'm like, okay, well, let's talk through. And she was like, did you know? I was like, I knew when he told me. Did you keep a secret? Nope. There's no secret here. There's timing and blah, blah, blah. And God was able to redeem that. They're still married. God did a great, great work. That's awesome. We were able to navigate the sin and the confession.
Yeah.
So it's really who, it's when, it's what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. If I eat Heidi's cookie, I can just tell her, you know, like I stole the last one, you know, kind of a thing. That's different than if I like wounded her somehow. But all those things come in play. The key is we're not ignoring this.
Right.
And I would say, like, to your friend, I'm sure you gave him this counsel anyways, but I'm like, good job listening to the Lord. Because I bet you your folks needed to know something. Or maybe just you needed to. And you were sensitive to that, and then you went about it.
Yeah. A lot of good principles there, Jeff. Thanks for walking us through that, because my guess is a lot of people have a version of this where they're like, you know, I never did. Yeah. Maybe even right now the Lord is prompting you and making you sensitive to something. And I pray that even in this moment, you would start to figure out how you can act to God actually loving you by bringing those things to mind and helping you move toward healing and restoration in these things. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages. Send them our way, and we'd also love to hear how these things are helping you, or even be a resource or point you to resources with some godly counsel and leaders you can process these parts of life with. So don't be a stranger. Reach out. Let us know. And if you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend, whether in person or online, especially if you're looking for a place to run after Jesus together. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.